You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
Finally on The Wire today, a group protesting seismic testing and oil drilling on the East Coast has taken their fight to the United Nations. The group Te Ikaroa are heading to the UN Oceans Conference in New York, where they will highlight how seismic testing violates indigenous rights through the disruption of local marine ecosystems. More than 80 indigenous communities have voiced their opposition to seismic testing being carried out by Chevron and Statoil on the East Coast, while a petition has also been set up to remove Statoil from the area. Earlier, I spoke to Te Ikaroa spokesperson Tina Ngata about their campaign, and I began by asking what they are opposing.
Well, our group, fundamentally, we oppose the extractive industries coming into our indigenous territories along the East Coast and abusing the ecosystems there. In this case, in this instance, that relates to Statoil and Chevron using seismic testing along the eastern seaboard, especially right now. They were supposed to have left in May, but they have extended their period and now they're operating in the middle of migratory season for our whales. And so over that time, we've seen quite a lot of devastation of our ecosystem. So we're fundamentally opposed to that. But over and above that, we understand that it's actually the system that is deeply flawed, because when Statoil and Chevron go away, there'll be more oil licensing with different companies that will come in. So we're also here to speak to the UN about their role in allowing the oil industries to come into indigenous territories and impact upon indigenous lifestyles in the way that they are. And not just, you know, obviously these territories don't just matter to us, they also matter to many New Zealanders, which is why we also have close to 24,000 signatures from New Zealanders in general supporting our condemnation of these activities.
And how would the local community be affected by seismic testing and drilling in the area?
So there's been quite a lot of research done now. Judith Collins has gone on the record to say that there's no scientific evidence to suggest that it negatively impacts environments, but we've found at least 50 studies that have been carried out by universities and Crown Estate research agencies that document significant impacts upon marine ecosystems, including cetaceans of mammal or sea mammals, and their hearing being knocked out and them eventually dying from that. And of course, over the period since the seismic testing started, we had the single largest stranding in New Zealand history of 600 pilot whales beaching in 2 days. So, you know, as a part of, we are inherently connected to our environment. New Zealanders are outside people. We all love nature. And so this impacts upon us as people because of our connections. But on top of that, we also know, science also tells us that it impacts upon our fisheries, it impacts upon our shellfish, and so this is subsistence lifestyles also being able to go out for a fish and go out and get a feed of seafood is another way in which this impacts us. And this is before we even get to the issue of drilling, because the drill depths that are currently being proposed are up to 3,000 metres deep, which is deeper than any cleanup vessel in New Zealand has the capacity to address. We only have three cleanup vessels, Maritime New Zealand, and none of them operate at that depth. So if anything were to happen, then we would have no recourse for cleaning it up. And of course, we have all seen the way in which oil spills impact upon communities.
What do you hope to achieve from attending the conference at the UN?
Well, you know, so ultimately a lot of these issues, particularly to do with areas that start to, the laws that define boundaries, that define national boundaries, that accord rights to governments to be able to do what they will, but also the laws that define the high seas areas, all of those come under the jurisdiction of the United Nations General Assembly, and particularly the Convention on the Law of the Sea is one of the mechanisms that accords these rights. And at the moment in the UN, the Convention on the Law of the Sea is undergoing a reset of sorts. It was drafted in 1982. That was before there was any understanding or discourse around Indigenous rights. So we're here to be a part of the discussion and be a part of that reset, and also to go to bat for Indigenous rights to have its rightful place inside these types of international doctrines. What bleeds out from those international doctrines is usually national legislation will usually come out from underneath those, and national policies in the end, and intergovernmental initiatives. And so we really want to be a part of, be around the table for that, and say, you know, Indigenous people are impacted upon these issues, but also we have a lot to offer in terms of our strengths and our solutions.
Now, you've termed this fight as an Indigenous issue. Can you elaborate on this and why the ocean is important to Indigenous communities?
Sure. So, I mean, in relation to the Pacific in general, we have been voyaging on the ocean for, you know, thousands of years, since well before any other settlers even knew that we existed. We were living with the ocean. We were making families on the ocean. We were praying to the ocean and singing to the ocean, and certainly we were voyaging the ocean. And so that much is evidenced by our still current voyaging tradition. So the ocean plays a big part in our identity. We often talk about the fact that it runs, that the salt water runs through our veins, and that we are the ocean and the ocean is a part of us. And so what happens to the ocean in a very real way because of these long-standing, close cultural ties with the ocean, what happens to the ocean, it happens to us. So when we see the high levels of ocean acidification, and, you know, this, one of the quotes within the General Assembly today is that we've broken the ocean. The ocean is broken, and now we're at a point now, not where we're trying to save it, but actually where we're trying to fix what we've broken. And so if the ocean is broken, then certainly the people of the ocean are also to an extent harmed and damaged as well. And so we, because it impacts upon us, we certainly deserve to be there at the table, but also because we have the longest, most long-standing record of sustainable use of these areas and, I guess, resources, if you want to use that term, that we have a lot to offer into the conversation as well. So we really deserve a voice for both of those reasons.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.